Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the first chapter of Acts, the following words. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, you heard the explanation before. This is the second half of the church year. The first half we talk and focus on what God has done and does for us. The second half, what God wants to do for the world through us. We start the first half with the promise of a Savior, Advent. And then the Savior comes, Christmas. And then the Savior shows himself throughout the world when the wise men come and take back the news of his birth to the east. Then, Passion, the suffering servant of God, Lent. We focus on the Lenten disciplines in preparation for the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then the ascension. And then coming down of the Holy Spirit, which was last Sunday, Pentecost. And then we stop focusing on what God has done for us. But with that in mind, we go forward into the world and we are ambassadors of this God that prepared us by showing us his love, by giving us new life, by forgiving us, by adopting us into his family. So now we go. But in whose name do we go? In the name of the triune God, about whom we just extensively treated our faith. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A mystery. You cannot rationally understand God because reason was not given to us to understand God. We use our reason to figure out our relationships and our living. We make a living, we work, etc. But reason is not given to us for us to make sense of God. It was Examination Sunday in a congregation. You know, just before the confirmation, and all the confirmants are up front, that they have to answer the questions that the pastor poses to them. And Johnny woke up very worried. He came down with laryngitis and he couldn't speak. And he told his mommy that he hoped that the pastor wouldn't call on him too much. Well, sure enough, right off the bat, the pastor says, Johnny, explain, what is the Holy Trinity? Johnny swallowed hard and said, three persons, one God, Father, Son, Spirit. And the pastor said, sorry, I don't understand that. And Johnny says, not supposed to, just believe it. It's true. We are not supposed to understand, just believe it. Because God is greater than we are. When Isaiah says, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways higher than our ways, he meant that. God is higher than we are. But I find that extremely comforting. When I cannot figure out a way forward, God points me in the right direction and equips me to do and conquer whatever the obstacles are. Today, on the first Sunday of the non-festive part of the church year, it's good to know that this Almighty God is on our side. He wrote the manual for our maintenance, and he says, come back to me and meet with me every Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, keep it holy by giving me a chance to talk to you. So the church's calendar is useful also for our spiritual life because it points us to to the overarching themes that we treat throughout the year. Today, we talk about our mission to go into the world and make disciples. Jesus told his disciples, "You are going to be my witnesses, but stay in the city until you are endowed with power from above." You and I were endowed with that power at our baptism. And from that day on, God has added to our knowledge, has strengthened us through nourishing us through word and the sacrament. So the festive first half of the church year is over. We now tackle the second non-festive half. But it is festive in a way if you think of the difference that Christ makes in the lives of the people. I just heard of a story that happened in Ethiopia. You'd think that in Ethiopia they would know all about Christ, but no, there are still people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. When Jim and Sue Kaiser translated it into Amharic, which is a language spoken by just a few thousand people, and when they translated Luke the Second, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, the people cried when they for the first time heard that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, was not given a decent place to sleep, that they put him in a broken basket with which you feed the cows, in which you feed the cows. People in the town cried when they first visualized that. You and I grow up hearing the Christmas story every single year, and we go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And so we become hardened to the beauty, the reality, and the serious service of the servant of God that humbled himself to die on a cross in our place. So the first lesson of the second half of the church year, I'd like it to be on attendance, on the importance of attendance, of our meetings with God. Not that God needs us. Far from it. He does his work, whether you are part of it, whether I'm part of it or not. He does not need us, but we are so benefited when we contribute with his work. When we hear people like this morning singing in Togo, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." In French, not in two-part harmony or four, but in six-part harmony. You should have heard those voices of the young pastoral seminary students blasting forth louder than a bunch of pastors together. And it was so beautiful to hear that. So, in the psalm appointed for this day, Psalm 1, we are compared to trees planted by streams of water. That is a tree that is reliable, that is secure, healthy, and will produce its fruit on the appointed season without absolutely any doubt. Because trees need water. And when you read that and apply it to you, you see that one sentence there says, they will still bear fruit in their old age. That's wonderful. The production of fruit for Christians increases as we grow older. So there is a lot of fruit being expected of me, I know that. How majestic is God's name in all beauty. If you look at the stars, the sun and the moon which he has made, you see the glory of God throughout the whole universe. in absolutely beyond our imagination, the sheer size of the universe, and the universe is physical, and then there is a spiritual dimension to it. I shared in my Thursday morning Bible class interesting thing that I read about Hubble, you know, our space telescope. Now with new lenses, it was growing old apparently, they put new glass on Hubble, and now he can see even farther. And Hubble took a picture. And in that picture, scientists of NASA identified 200,000 constellations, the same as the Milky Way. Constellations. And then comes the shocking part. They said that this is the equivalent of you taking a drinking straw, you know, one of those at McDonald's, and look through it at a wall 10 feet away. And the space on the wall that you see is the area of the universe covered by Hubble. It is mind-boggling. It is way beyond our comprehension. When we talk about light years, distant universe, that is way above. A good thing that God doesn't want us to worry about it, that He created everything and keeps it all in order. But He wants you and me to focus on eating, drinking, working, sleeping, and sharing the good news. That's simple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.